Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The A-List Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Welcome. Thank you for listening, joining in to the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis, joined by A-Shaw Blakely and Gary Washburn. And Gary has been annoyed already in the past few minutes because Sherrod and I are really excited about this Barbie movie. And Gary is just clearly not in the Barbie spirit, which is very disappointing.
It are is. There any black people in it? Are they like who?
Yes.
Issa Rae.
Who?
Lisa Rae. Gary, this is, Lisa the most this is the most diverse. Oh, see. Oh, don't act like you don't know that.
Oh,
I didn't know there was a Barbie movie coming out. I honestly did not know.
Okay, there's no way in this day and age you didn't have not seen a Barbie commercial on a billboard.
I've seen emphasis on Barbie, like I've seen people, but I did not know there was actually a movie with a plot and a Ken and a dream house. Like I didn't know none of that.
This is like the most diverse Barbie movie ever.
Ever.
It is. I mean, there's like
as opposed to the first, like, has there ever been a Barbie movie?
Probably.
I think so, actually,
but I wouldn't know because I would never watch them until
I don't know my Barbie history.
Down this path.
Okay.
I got my pink headphones. My students in my class this summer at Boston University, we spent a lot of time talking about the Barbie movie, different stories that you could develop off the Barbie movie. And so what did they do at the end of the class? They got me a Barbie.
Aw.
They got me a Barbie.
Kids love them.
And Gary, next time you come to my office, Gary, you will see it. It'll be right next to the other stuff I got hanging out on the wall.
Can't wait.
But there is no Ken.
Yeah,
there is no Ken. I'm waiting for them to come out with Kendrick. When they bring Kendrick, that's when we got something to talk about. I'm not down with Ken. I want to see Kendrick up in that bad boy.
It's actually really funny because if we're going by stereotypes, I'm sure most of our audience are like, why are they talking about Barbie right now? But you know what? You're still listening, so we appreciate you for that. We'll talk about Jaylen Brown now.
On to Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Here we go.
A smooth transition into Jaylen Brown from the Barbie conversation. But he's yet to sign that Supermax extension. Could be worth over $304 million. He would end up being the biggest paid NBA player, at least in history with that contract. But are you too concerned over the fact that this has one, not gone down yet, but two, the fact that we keep getting reports of like, oh, Jaylen's busy and like, oh, they're working on it. And it seems as though just nuggets are being dropped, but no action is actually being put behind it yet.
Well, Gary, you saw him more recently than I did. So what's your take on it?
I'm not concerned because I just think it's a deal that needs to be negotiated. And Jaylen is in Spain right now for a Players Association kind of event. Now, this is it hasn't really been written about. So this is a situation where he goes to Spain with other players and they work on their own games. Like this is a camp for themselves. Like they go, it's like, you know, players go to Vegas to work out, players go to other, you know, city, LA to get runs. The Players Association set up like a trip where some players who are interested can go to Spain and work on their skills. So this is not just Jaylen doing camps or vacationing. This is a business trip for Jaylen. Then I think he's going to stay a couple of extra days. I know it ends on Friday. Sorry, the 22nd. Saturday? Saturday the 22nd? Something like that. 22nd of Saturday.
the secretary.
And then he's going to stay a few extra days to do some camps with kids and that, and kind of do the philanthropy thing. So this is a trip for him that's not just him, oh, I know y'all trying to negotiate my deal, but I'm trying to go on vacation right now. No, this is a opportunity for him to work on his game, to go to Spain, to see some different things. But also, this is kind of a business trip. So I don't think fans should be like, oh, Jalen ain't signed his deal, then his side, he's just going to go on a vacation. Like, this has been pre-planned for a while now. And he went last year, too. So, you know, he is gone, and there's members of the Player Association going with him, other players. So I'm not as concerned. You'd like to get it done ASAP when he gets back, close his deal, do a nice press conference, have Jalen say, hey, I'm glad to be here, and I want to be here for the rest of my career and move forward. Because I think the Celtics need some good news right now. Losing Grant, losing Marcus, and there's, you know, when Malcolm's still probably a little salty about being kind of dangled for trade and not going through, and now it's like, oh, now you're a point guard. And then, you know, what about some other moves that might be made?
Porzingis is the only happy person since he got that extension.
Yeah, like, that's it. Like, it's going to be some good news. And they need to make this happen, to get, you know, forget all the, oh, we want him back and this is going to work out. Make it happen. Get this deal done. Have a nice press conference and keep it moving and try to add to the roster during the next couple of weeks. And so I think Celtic fans are a little uneasy about not only Jalen, but just losing Grant and losing Marcus Smart. So this needs to happen, but I am not concerned like Jalen's like, deuces, I'm going on vacation. This was something that's been planned for a long time. And I think, you know, we all know Jalen, he wants to be there for these negotiations. He's not going to be like, oh, let this, you know, let my agent handle this. That's not his style. So I'm not as concerned as you would think, considering I think they're going to get this deal done.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not ready to hit what I like to call the Kyle Draper panic button. I ain't ready to go there. But I am concerned. I'm only concerned because the opportunity to get this deal done was there when he was in Vegas. He could have easily, him and his agent and his Celtics, sat down, worked something out, get it done, have a little mini press conference in Vegas, and then take your butt to Spain and do all this stuff that you already had planned. And to me, as long as this deal isn't done, I'm going to have a level of concern. It's not very high, because I agree with you. I think it will get done. But I think it's not going to be as smooth and easy breezy as people think. The Celtics, if you're the Celtics, you're certainly going to try to put in some escalators that are contingent upon him meeting certain metric marks, that incentives that he may not necessarily want there to be incentives. He may want a certain number to be guaranteed money, and the Celtics may have a different number in mind as far as what's fully guaranteed. Those are some of the things that I would like for them to have started to iron out in Vegas, so that if they didn't get the deal done, they can just say, okay, we started, we've made a little progress on this area now, where we still got 1, 2, 3, 4 to work out. We'll do that when you get back from Spain. Have a nice time, you know, adios, you know, all that good stuff, and come back from Spain and just get it done. But now it seems that when he comes back, they're starting from, not, I wouldn't say ground zero, but pretty damn close to ground zero to getting this thing done. And I hope that they start when he gets back. I hope they don't wait till like he started training camp and try to get something done, because they do have a lot of time to work this out. But I think the sooner they start hammering away at this thing, the sooner they're going to get the deal done. But until they start doing that, Gary, I'm gonna have a little bit of concern about this, because I know that things that are supposed to be a certain way and seem like no-brainers, it can twist real quick. Things can get funky. And, you know, as you pointed out, Jalen is a smart dude, and he's definitely going to be involved in the process. And I would not be shocked if there's certain things that he wants to be guaranteed, or he wants certain assurances, that the Celtics are like, damn, JB, we love you, boy, but damn, I don't know about that one. What if we do this? And I think that there has to be the back and forth discourse, and I just don't think they have invested enough in that just yet. They will eventually, but I think I'm like most fans. I want to just get it done. I mean, no one's going to offer you more money, and this is going to be the richest contract any player has ever had in NBA history. It's kind of a big deal. So I understand why if you're Jalen, you're being patient because you want to make sure you just get this thing right. But I also have to be mindful of the fact that at the end of the day, your brick is going to be bigger than anyone's brick who's ever gotten a brick in the NBA. You are literally becoming the blueprint, the template, if you will, for getting paid in the NBA. And the craziest part about all of this, and I know this is the part that Celtics fans are a little bit queasy about, you're the second best player on the squad, and you're getting the biggest check, the biggest chip that anyone financially has gotten ever.
Point to me.
Ever.
Yeah.
So, again, the sooner I think he gets his deal done, the sooner we can go through all that. He's not worth that money, which I think is bogus, because you never get what you're worth. You get what you negotiate. People forget that, especially when it comes to pro ballers. But I would hope that he would try to get this done in an expedient manner of time. And whether that is when he gets back from Spain, whether it's off the training camp, we don't know. But I'm hoping he'll get it done fairly soon.
When regular people negotiate their salary, there are a lot of factors that you write down for a normal job. So with Jalen Brown specifically, do you guys think that his value beyond being a baller should be factored in to the contract?
Absolutely. I think that that has to be a factor that you at least consider, because let's be honest and let's keep it real. One of the brightest young stars in the NBA is some cat named Ja Morant. Now, he's getting the big brick. And he deserves the big brick for what he does on the court. Yeah. But the stuff he does off the court is problematic. Mm-hmm. For him, it's problematic for the organization. It's problematic for the NBA. And with a guy like Jalen, you not losing sleep over what this cat does when he's off the court. He's been here long enough where you
he's
have a
probably at MIT.
Yeah, he's probably on, you know, looking at some spreadsheet trying
that's
to figure
crazy.
Out how can I create more wealth for me or for these young people. That's just who he is. And Tatum, you know, and again, we're not talking about him too much, but he's in a similar boat as far as real low, you know, just not a lot of drama with them. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you have to think about that when you're offering this kind of money, because the last thing you want to do is put all that money in some kid pocket. And next thing you know, he's doing the Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. He's doing the Ja Morant. You don't want to do that.
That's a good point. Gary, what do you think?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think there's going to be a lot of things in there to negotiate, like what about a no trade clause, right? How long would you give a no trade clause throughout the entire contract? Player options, team options, incentives, all of the above have to be worked out to where Jalen can probably maximize it, but also have incentives to where it's like, okay, this is how much you get if you win the MVP. Is how much you get if we make the finals. This is how much you get if we win the finals. Like, all those things have to be considered in terms of a major contract like this, because now you're putting $300 million in the hands of one man. Damn. To help, and you want to win, and you want to win championships, right?
Hell so, yeah, you want to win championships.
Yo, Jalen, $400.
You want to give him singular, Gary. Plural,
you wanna, yeah, you want to give him incentive to where not only, you know, he has incentive to make all NBA again.
Yeah.
All NBA first team, all defensive team. Do you want to throw that in there? Like, all these things, you want to make sure that he has money on the line, right?
True.
And some of those incentives he's not going to reach. But I think you do try to lay it with incentives to where he does have incentive to improve as a player, because we all know Jalen needs to improve. Jalen needs to get to that next level. He's top 20. I mean, he made all NBA, so you could say top 15, but I think he fell off a bit after his playoff performance in terms of, like, maybe his status. Obviously, that game 7, the 8 turnovers, and coming off one of the tougher games of his career. That's the last we've seen of Jalen, right? That's the latest. That's the last thing on his resume is 8 turnovers. And when Jason got hurt, you couldn't carry the load and keep the team in the game. So I think they're going to need to laden it with incentives and make sure that the Celtics come out okay on this too. Not here, Jalen, here's $304 million or $295 million. Here's $59 million a year. And probably you're going to make maybe as much as $67 or $68 million in the final year of that deal because it's going to be, you know, like layered. And, you know, no problem. It's straight up money. Like, you want to give him incentives. Now, the Jason negotiation, I'm sure, will be much easier because it will be less incentives. Jason's reached a lot of those, but you want to give Jason some incentives too eventually, right? You know, MVP, you know, things like that. So I think, and you also take into account the man Jalen is off the floor, a positive role model, what he's doing. And you want to make sure he's in Boston long term. If this is the guy you want, this is the guy, quite honestly, that you invest in. And you drafted him. He's homegrown. He's had his issues with Boston or whatever. Now you talk to him about that. And you might want to, you know, the team has a lot of assets and a lot of helpful people around the organization, outside organization. Hey, Jalen, you want to buy a house here? You want to invest in this? You want to be, you know, eventually, you know, Jalen might want to invest in a WNBA team. Now NBA players can do that. You know, you can invest in certain things. You can invest in, there's a level, a small percentage of sports betting you can invest in. Like, this new CBA has a lot of options for the players to be more partners. That was the theme of this new CBA, having talked to the Player Association President, Tamika Chimalgo, was like, we want to be partners. That's what she said. We want to be partners, not employees. And I think a lot of this new CBA has an opportunity for these players to be partners. So do you throw some of those incentives in there? Or, you know, when you retire, Jalen, do you want to be part of the partners? There could be a lot of things to deal with. And so that's why I think this negotiation is a little bit more difficult than just straight, hey, here's $250 million. Hey, here's $300 million straight up money. Be ready for training camp. I think that there's a lot going on in Jalen's head. But the fact that, like, his family's and hanging out, you know, his brother was sitting with the Celtics folks during summer league. Like, I don't see no issues with, like, oh, Jalen mad at the Celtics. Jalen mad right now. Jalen don't want to be around. His brother was hanging with Mike Zarin on the sideline at a Celtics summer league game. The second one when they lost to Washington, they were hanging out, sitting on court side. So if that was an issue, then Jalen's brother wouldn't be hanging out with the Celtics folks. So I think we're fine, but I also think that it needs to get done when he gets back. Like, don't let this bleed into August and all that. Like, just get this done because, you know, let the Harden thing and the Lillard thing be the NBA news. Mm-hmm. Celtics want to stay out the news right now, unless they're doing something positive, signing somebody. But this thing, get up out the news.
All right, let's pivot and talk to the other Jay on this team, Jason Tatum. He's living his best summer life right now. He was at the Drake concert at TD Garden. I love that Sherrod put in our rundown that we're going to talk about the girl that fell down the stairs.
What happened?
I didn't see that.
The captain said she literally fell for Tatum.
Really funny, though. Literally, I mean, as soon as they called Tatum out and everyone's going crazy, 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 and then someone is in the stands who literally, like, you know, back when you were a little kid and you and this, well, Gary don't know about this because he was on West Coast. So you don't know about that snow thing. You don't know about sledding. Yeah. She literally slid like she was on a sled down the stairs, Gary. Gary.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad that she wasn't hurt because I would have felt really bad for laughing my ass off when I saw that video if she was hurt. But apparently she was not seriously hurt. But again, Tatum is just, he's like that dude now. He's that dude. He's that dude that you look at his life on the court, you look at his life off the court, you got Drake bringing you up on stage at shows, which Drake does with pretty much any NBA city he goes to. Whoever the best player is in that city, he's bringing him on stage. I'm curious to see what he'll do if he goes to Denver, though. Is Jokic going to get that kind of love? I don't know. Another story, another day. Anyway, bottom line is this. Tatum is living the greatest life that Jason Tatum can live. And I'm excited for him. I'm happy to see that kid happy. I didn't know if he could, like, get to the point where he could be, like, outwardly happy about life. Because you remember the first couple years in the league.
Just quiet. I mean,
yeah, he's quiet, stoic, didn't really seem like, I mean, he was like giving you 20 and some change, and he didn't really seem like he was enjoying giving you 20 and change, but now he's giving you 30. James. He's giving you 30, a big 3-0 piece. And he's got stuff in his life that's just incredibly awesome for him to have.
Man, we don't do look, celebrity gossip, not, but we're going to do celebrity gossip. Yes, he was with LMA.
That's not gossip. That's,
this is, he's been together for a while, right?
I know. This yes, is, but, you know, it's funny because people like whisper about it. Like fans, they see the pictures and they're like, oh my God, are they together? Like we can confirm on the A-List podcast that they have definitely been together on various occasions, including publicly at Jay-Z's event. You see,
and I love the fact he's comfortable.
Yeah.
Being out, which I was hoping he'd get to the point where he would be just comfortable being who he is and being accepted for, you know, what he brings to the table, that kind of stuff.
So do you think at this point he shed the Only 19 title? Is it finally over? Is it dead? Is he an adult now?
Is he a grown ass man now, Gary Whitefer? Is he ready? Is he a grown ass man now?
He grown. I didn't know LMA 28, so I didn't know she was older than he is.
Gary
so.
Just did his hood research, y'all.
Yeah.
FYI, Gary just did his hood research.
We need our hood research graphic.
Exactly. we need to have the hood research file.
Yeah, we need a hood research team because
yeah, we do. But okay,
let's get that graphic that wrote across it. Hood research presented by.
We need a sponsor for that.
Rap snacks. Let's get them on.
Get it going, Kwani.
I got you. We need us. If you're listening to this and you work somewhere where y'all are willing to sponsor, hit us up. Don't hit me up. Hit up like Sherrod or someone.
Hood snacks. Hit up Sherrod.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Blow Sherrod's phone up.
So some of that hood research, Gary. You're right. She is 28 years old.
Okay.
It's no, not too bad.
Hell of an artist.
She's not robbing the cradle. All right. So we're going to talk about the Sixers for a second. And then, which is probably maybe, I would say, one of the more hated teams that for Celtics fans. And then we're going to talk about the team they hate the most, probably because I actually talked to their star player on Monday. So we'll get to that. That's what they call a TVTs. Let's talk about the Clippers. James Harden, Clippers. Do you guys think that'll get done? Let's start with that NBA rumor first, actually. dissect the Sixers.
I think it'll get done. I think they'll find a way to make it happen because the way that players have been like the last couple of years, I mean, basically, when they say where they want to go, those teams find a way to make it happen more times than not. So. I don't like the idea of players forcing their way out of town, especially when they force their way into the damn town that they're leaving, the way Harden did. And it's just not working out. But what, now you're going to go to LA and all of a sudden it's going to be better? I just don't know if that's going to work. Clippers will find a way to make it work, though. I just don't think once he gets there, it'll work.
That's
right. Yeah, I think... I don't know what the allure now, because I think it's declining quickly of James Harden on your basketball team. It hasn't worked the last many places. It didn't work in Brooklyn. He asked out. Now it's not working in Philadelphia. So the Clippers, it's going, you know, it's suddenly it's going to work. And maybe he'll become, you know, if it happens and he plays with Kawhi, Kawani, Kwani Lunas.
My autocorrect counterpart on iPhone.
Yeah.
He stole my initials too, KL.
The low management dude and Paul George. You know, and it all depends on who else is on that team. I think he'll be unselfish and I think he'll understand that he has to be, he has to be a certain way. He can't be selfish James, Houston James. But I don't know what the Clippers – like, what will it take? Like, the Clippers are not going to give up Paul and Kawhi. They're not – they don't want to give up any of their young players. So what is it? Like, Marcus Morris and Robert Covington and Norman Powell, like, Philadelphia's going to be good with that? No. So it just makes it all the more difficult when you demand a trade. You force your team into having to execute this trade because, you know, we all know what James is going to do if he ain't happy somewhere. He's going to be partying a lot. Then he's going to show up looking like, Looking like Fred Flintstone or something. Not
Fred Flintstone.
But like it's a training camp, Barty Rubble. Tom Hall, okay, I'm ready to hoop. let me put this Subway sandwich down. And
not Subway.
You know, he's gonna be
you didn't go with Subway.
Come one of them Shiraz sandwiches. You're gonna have too many of them Shiraz shakes. Too many of them Shiraz shakes. It's just gonna be, we all know what's gonna happen. So it forces Daryl Morey to have to make a trade, but the Clippers are like, well, if we know he wants to be here, why should we give up a prime package for him when he's going to act a fool if he stays? So right. You need to get him out of there. The same thing potentially with Portland and Miami, where you demand a trade to one damn team, and that don't help you execute the trade. Like, you got to keep that down low. Like, you know, you can't tell the world, I want to play for Miami. That's all I want to play for. I want to play for Boston. I want to play for Milwaukee. I want to play. No. I want to play for Miami. And the same thing, I want to play for the Clippers. Like, okay, Clippers, like, what happens? So I just think it just makes it all the more difficult. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what this deal would be like, where what would the Clippers be willing to give up, because they're not giving up Kawhi or Paul, you know. And then you have the large shadow of Joel Embiid going, well, okay, what are you getting back for this dude? Because I'm trying to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to get back no spare parts and a couple of first round picks ain't helping me right now. So, and Marcus Morris at age 33, 34 ain't helping me. And Norman Powell, as good as he is, like, that's not helping me right now when it's shit. So I think it's really complicated because he has put them in a corner. And the Clippers are like, well, we ain't giving up Terrence Mann. We ain't giving up Brandon Boston. We ain't giving up none of our young dudes. Nope. We'll give up. This is what we're going to give up, and we'll wait. So this thing could last into the summer, throughout the summer, into training camp. And, you know, James mad. James didn't like the way. I mean, if I hear one more thing about James being upset about something, like not winning games, and then acting like he was Desmond Tutu last year by giving up money on his contract.
Here we go. I knew Gary was going to go.
We got another Gary Rand.
The sacrifice that he made for his team. The sacrifice that James made for his team.
Oh, gosh.
Nobel Peace.
We need a new segment. We need a new segment called Gary Rants, and we give him
acting like
two minutes to rant about something.
Oh, I could have made more money like James. Like,
you're 34
years old. You're 34 years old. Your stock is low. I mean, he complaining. Russell Westbrook just signed for 2 years and $8 million after making $47 million last year. So, Russell Westbrook, who some would argue is a more effective player than James Harden.
He's better than James right now? You think he's better than James right now?
No.
Okay.
He's not. But he took a $43 million pay cut, and you tripping about making 36 when, like...
So Russ should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Russ. Yes. We should bring Russ.
Let's get these multimillionaires Peace Prize for leaving money on the table.
Whenever NABJ gets to LA, we will give Russ a Pioneer Award for taking the sacrifice
he has made.
We don't give Russ a Pioneer Award because, like, I mean, like, to me, I'm just tired of hearing about Harden's unhappiness. You ain't got no championships. You got one MVP from a few years ago. You did not show up in Game 7 against the Celtics. You did not show up in Game 6 against the Celtics. Right? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, that's the thing. And it's holding up the league. And then now you want to play for the Clippers. That's going to work. You think Ty Lue's like, oh, bring on James Harden. All the problems he done had over the years in touch with the Clippers, all the injuries. you think Ty Lue can't wait to coach Harden? Like, it's crazy. I guess because of his skill set and his, you know, player empowerment, but it's just strange, crazy. Coming off the non-show in Game 7, he mad. What you got to be mad about, bruh? What'd you do? Like, who messed you up, James? You made $38 million last year.
Sacrifice.
These people doing me wrong. Like, what? Like, it's insane. Our league. I love covering this league. There was no league like it.
That's true.
We just saw an NFL, 5 productive running backs not get paid, right? Josh Jacobs, my man for the Giants, Saquon Barkley. The team's just like, yeah, you rushed for 1,800 yards and 44 touchdowns last year, but we ain't paying you jack. We ain't signing you. No, like, you all see with this? And then Harden at 36 is acting like he Nelson Mandela. He brought it to, like, come on. What's going on here?
Well, it also appears that another person that should have been trusting the process may not trust in it anymore. Joel Embiid told Uninterrupted Sports Film Festival, he's talking to Matt Carter, and he said, I just want to win a championship, whatever it takes. I don't know where that's going to be, whether it's Philly or anywhere else. He just wants have a chance to accomplish that. His contract, has to opt in by June 29, 2026. But now the talks are, should someone else be interested in him? Because why is he so willing to? It sounds like he's ready to go as well.
Listen, that's called a warning shot for the Sixers organization. Really? Look, I'll win a championship here. I'll win it elsewhere. If y'all can't get it done, basically, you need to put the right players around me, and not the best players, the right players. And there's a clear distinction between the two. James Harden is one of the best players that Joel Embiid will ever play with. But did anyone outside of the Philadelphia area code think that duo will lead them to a championship? Hell no. No.
I don't think anyone in the area code thought that either.
No. But the point is this, though. They did not put the right pieces around him. And you just wonder, even though if they made a trade with the Clippers, they would absolutely lose the deal in terms of talent, they might win the deal because they might be able to get better pieces that pair better with Joel Embiid. Yeah. He may not like it, but if he's willing to give it one shot, which I'm not sure he's willing to do, you never know what happened. I would love a guy like Terrence Mann in Philly. I think he'd be a great fit. I think he could be the Philadelphia's version of Bruce Brown. When Bruce Brown was to Denver, guy that does a lot of things really well, doesn't do anything exceptional other than just do lots of different things. So they can make that work. I think they could absolutely make it work, but I don't trust Philadelphia's brain trust enough to do the right thing. I don't trust because, you know, Daryl Morey, let's be honest and be real. He likes nice, shiny toys, even if those toys don't look well or play well with the toys he's got. And so I don't think he buys into the concept necessarily of getting guys who are good fits for his core. He likes to get the absolute best talent and think that the talent alone is going to get the job done, which we've seen time and time and time again in Philly. That's not going to work.
Like Barbie dolls. Nice.
There you go.
Like Barbie dolls, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Like Daryl Morey, how many teams has he led to a championship?
Same ones I have.
How many teams did he take to the finals?
Same as me.
Cero.
We dare.
Cero for you Spanish-speaking people. Cero.
Same as me.
So
now you got Gary trying to speak Spanish.
I'm not sure.
Adios mio. Yeah. Adios mio.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not sure, like, why he still has a job. Like, why did he fire Doc? It's Doc fault. Oh, okay. It's Doc fault. It's just amazing the gall. This Philadelphia it just smells like if I'm a Sixer fan, I'd be just like, what the heck is going on? The center won out, the point guard now won out, the general manager's acting like he didn't like he read R back. He got no championships, no finals appearances. You know, he had Pat Riley in the '80s. You know, running a team, like, and it's just like you have no credentials, no credibility in terms of like putting together a championship team. And then you bring James Harden in, and somehow, because that's your bud, that's the guy, your guy. Now your guy ain't your guy anymore. It's just amazing. This whole thing. I mean, this NBA, it's what makes it fun, but it is insane the gall of some of these guys and what they do. And there is no good guy in this. Do you feel bad for Daryl Morey? No. You sort of feel bad for Embiid. Embiid is gutted it out. He's tried. He tried to make it work with Ben Simmons. That didn't work. You know, but now, and then look at what Jays did to my man, PJ Tucker. Bring, you know, come on, man. I got you. We gonna run this 1 year. He out. See you, PJ.
I hate to see
that. That's like saying, hey, move into my neighborhood. Move into my neighborhood. And then you, and as you got the moving van.
I'm moving. You called the moving truck for yourself. Hey, that moving truck you moved in, I'm going to use it to move back out.
Like, I see can I borrow your boxes?
Yeah, what's your mover's number? I'm about to help them.
Why is he asking about my mover number? You planning to move?
What are we doing here? It's amazing. But, like, good luck to all the parties involved.
Stop lying. You don't wish them good luck. You hope
no
that
shade. No shade. No shade. Respectfully. No shade.
Respectfully.
It would be interesting to see James Harden in a Clipper uniform, but please don't tell me. You cannot convince me that's going to work.
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. Factor Meals, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track in reaching all your summertime goals. They offer delicious, flavor-packed options on the menu each week to fit a variety of lifestyles, from keto to calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and protein plus. Prepared by chefs and approved by dietitian, each meal has all of the ingredients you'll need to feel satisfied all day long while meeting your goals. And if you're looking to mix it up, you can add a protein to select vegan plus veggie meals each week. Choose from 34 plus chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options featuring premium ingredients such as broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 plus add-ons, including breakfast items like our delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites, and potato, bacon, and egg breakfast skillet. Or for an easy wellness boost, try refreshing beverage options like cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. If you're going to go the smoothie route, I strongly recommend you go with the tropical fruit or the mango. Want to budget this month by cutting back on takeout? Get Factor Meals instead. Not only is Factor Meals cheaper than takeout, but meals are ready faster than restaurant delivery in just 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/A-List50 and use code A-List50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code A-List50 at factormeals.com/A-List50 to get 50% off your first box.
That's fair.
No. Especially with a coach like Ty, because like Ty's a good coach.
Yeah,
and Ty wants guys who actually, you know, want to show up and play. And Ty is not beneath him to put you on blast. Respectfully, no shade at the fact that you came to training camp 17 pounds over your overweight from your last stop. But you know what? No shade. Yeah. That's your all boy. Right.
James Moving Harden. To the final chapter of this episode, Steph Curry, you've heard of him, four-time NBA champ, just beat the Celtics in 2022. He is underrated because that's the name of his film, coming out Friday. I had a chance to talk to him, actually, on Monday. I was in New York City for a junket, and it was very, I will say, I know you guys are probably Steph haters, not you guys, the listeners, but the film was very inspiring. It's basically about his time at Davidson and really hones in on the underrated aspect of him being physically small, playing at a small college, and obviously them making that NCAA tournament run and really putting Davidson on the map. But of course, Steph would go on to do better things in the NBA. But I thought it was a pretty good film. So I just wanted to, one, brag about the fact that I talked to him. No, but also point out that his story really is inspiring when you break it down, and it's like, oh wow, there's still much more to be written. But of course I asked him about like Boston being related to his NBA legacy, because that's something that we very much will think about when we eventually look back on the career that Steph has had so far. So it was interesting. Yeah,
do you play spades?
No, I don't know how to play, actually, which is unfortunate. Why?
That is unfortunate. Because what you did was basically you laid down like an ace of clubs, and you're feeling good about winning that hand.
No.
And I'm hitting you with the two of spades because not only did I talk to Steph already about the movie, I too saw a preview of it when it was at the film festival out in Utah. And I wrote about that. And so you that was a good hand you played.
I didn't even read the article. Now I feel bad. Dang.
Yes, you Gary. Which Gary, is a spade analogy? Is that that's accurate, isn't it, Gary?
Plus come five. On.
Be I honest, Gary.
That round.
The spades, that's accurate analogy. She came with the ace of clubs. I hit it with the two of spades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool for like 30 seconds.
You were cool for 30 seconds. Then I hit you with that deuce of spades, girl. Listen, you're right. McCartney's right, though, about the movie. It is a good movie. And I would encourage people to see it because it is inspirational. Steph is, this is the thing about Steph. The more I talk to him, he's that dude that you love to hate. Because there doesn't really seem anything bad with him. I mean, he's a great baller. He's redefined the game in ways no one else has done or ever will do. Got a lovely wife, beautiful family.
A great golfer.
And he threw his holes in ones. Like, and you know, and the, I think the shot that he hit to win it, what was it?
It's the ACC, but not the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Basically, the
American Century Championship. He won the Atlantic Coast Conference.
I said it's ACC, but not the Atlantic Coast.
He couldn't even play in the ACC when he was a player. He couldn't even be in the
That's true.
But the shot that he hit to win the tournament was basically like a D3 in basketball.
Yeah.
It was that type of golf shot. And so he's just so freaking like flawless in so many aspects of his life that you just like, God, I can't stand you.
And
I
love
you at the same time. Much respect for Steph. Absolutely. And even if you are a diehard Celtics fan, you have to respect Steph.
Correct.
You have to respect the game. Even if you don't like his team, even if you don't like his teammates, you got to respect the man and what he does on the court and to be candid with what he does and what he doesn't do off the court.
True.
So major props to Steph Curry.
Wait, but if I added that I talked to Ryan Coogler, how would you feel?
Okay, then you get that. I'll let you get that.
No, only reason I bring that up, though.
We got to teach Courtney how to play spades.
I do, because I want to play and win and another black card. Because it's.
I just don't want to be your partner when you first learn how to play.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't blame you. I know how competitive spades are.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying, Gary?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's okay. Yeah. Let's just throw me under the bus.
We friends, but space is different. It's a little different. Friendship, what?
Bragging rights, money, usually a lot of things are on the line. I'm not trying
For
to
sure.
get you. Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
We're not doing that.
For sure.
Yeah, but all that to say, we're ending the episode on a talking about a Warriors player. What do y'all got? Anything Celtics related to close out?
I was able to watch the part two of the Wilt Chamberlain. It's on Showtime now, so you can watch the parts. But we saw the on last Thursday in Vegas saw the premiere the part two, and
Gary said, I'm not the only one with an exclusive.
No, Kevin Garnett was there, Glenn Big Baby Davis, Tracy McGrady. So it was good to see. It was good to for those who. Only know Wilt with the records. And I know a lot, this new generation doesn't know a lot about Wilt, just knows he set every damn record and everybody's trying to break all of his records. It's a very good, it's worth the 3 hours. I think it's three parts, about an hour each. Just learning about the man, especially for the African-American community, what he was able to do and how he was like the first 7-footer, really comfortable in his own skin. He was Shaq before Shaq. In terms of trends, styles, all of the above. So fascinating story, fascinating man. Unfortunately, he died before died 99, before social media took off, before he could really, he got his flowers, but before he could really get his flowers like Bill Russell did. Yeah. You know, Bill Russell obviously died
more recently
last year. And you know, how I put this. Bill was able to get his flowers, show the appreciation from the current players. And Wilt didn't really as much get his love from like the current generation, because if he had lived longer, he would have definitely gotten his flowers. And I think that it's worth watching. And, you know, Kevin Garnett helped produce it and he's in it. Mm-hmm. And talking about his influence, being influenced by Wilt Chamberlain. So it is good to see KG do things like that, you know, kind of get into the film industry now and touch people with some of the stories, not only of himself, but of others. And kind of, you know, it's good to see KG. We always ask KG, what you going to do when it's all over and you're finished playing? He's putting that same passion that he had on the court into the film industry and doing stuff with Showtime and obviously the podcast with our man Paul Pierce.
That is, look, love it. The stories that they drop in that, what?
So that was a good experience to check that out. And definitely if folks want to check that, I said learn more about Wilt, because I think that we know him as a name. And you see the pictures and you see maybe some faint highlights or whatever. And you think, oh, he lost all those championships to Russell, but or you unfortunately think of the number 20,000.
Right.
When you think of Wilt Chamberlain.
And what you talking about, Gary?
I'll let y'all figure that out what that means. But
why you got to bring that number up? Is that part of your hood research?
No,
is that part of?
No. It's a lot more. It's a lot more to Wilt and things I learned, him being a real champion for women's sports in the 1970s, where I knew that he was kind of into volleyball and that type of thing. But like after he retired, he became a real champion for a lot of great female athletes that we've heard about. And so worth watching.
So if you are a subscriber of this podcast, here are some suggestions of things to watch, but make sure you continue to watch us as well. That's a wrap on this week's episode. Y'all will look so confused with my setup. It's okay. A'Sherron Blakely, Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis. We appreciate y'all listening to the A-List podcast. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
The CLNS Media Network is powered by FanDuel. Sign up at fanduel.com/Boston. And get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed.